786. Hear the difference.
Is where you hear the difference. We are speaking to Dr. Fatima Hussein. Dr. Fatima Hussein is also a member of Breast Interest Group of South Africa, the Association of Surgeons of South Africa, the Surgical Research Society of South Africa, and the South African Colorectal Society.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. These big words. But we are speaking about... We were speaking about breast cancer and the numbers indicating that younger women are suffering, or the increase in breast cancer is prevalent in younger women. And before the break, we were speaking about the mindset and how, where it starts. And Dr. Fatima was saying it starts at home before it starts at school. But Dr. Fatima, you say this starts at home. If I might know of breast cancer, but if it's not prevalent in my family, or it's not a conversation I'd be having, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to, if I have daughters, I'm not going to, well, not me per se, but for someone who hasn't dealt with it or who might not be interested in it, because I also think that sometimes people are only interested in diseases that concern them, you know, or diseases that they find within their family. So, for example, maybe high blood pressure might be something, and so that would be a conversation. So you'd hear a mom or a dad say, not too much salt, not too much sugar, because you might get this, you know. But you don't really hear someone say, not too much of that, because you might get cancer. So if we do start at home, I suppose it's what you were saying earlier, conversations like this on the radio, and hopefully someone hears it and this starts that conversation, or just being in a clinic where you're going for whatever it is you're going for, like a checkup, and someone speaking about cancer and early detection.
Unfortunately, you're 100% right. That said, I think we are very lucky in the sense in the 21st century, where we have so much access to technology and different streaming platforms and different forms of technology, different forms of data that we can get. So you're not reliant on the only on what you get from school, but also on other forms of media. And there's tons of information out there, but exactly as you say, I mean, if it's not something that is necessarily relevant to you, or because of your family or family history, etc., you don't always go and look into it. But that said, we do have awareness programs and things like that are. And I mean, right now, you and I, we've acknowledged the importance of breast cancer and how prevalent it is. And we, exactly as you mentioned, have started this conversation. And I'm sure lots and lots of other people are hearing it and will continue that conversation, ask about it, learn more about it. And it does carry forward, I think.
I was speaking to my producer, and I was saying... we were speaking about the subject that we are speaking about right now, and I was saying to her, perhaps I should go for a mammogram and just see, because I'm a young woman. And she's like, no, that's too early. And I'm like, okay. I feel like she sounded like, you know, those mothers where you go and say, like, something feels weird to me, I think I need to check it up. And they're like, no, if you go for a checkup, then it's just going to prove something. It's almost as if you're going to look for something that isn't there, you know. But then doctors, on the other hand, say, well, if you see something that you feel uncomfortable with or hasn't been there, then you should have it checked up. Now, for young women, what is the right age to go to a doctor and just get your checkup? If you feel that you found a lump or something, or just a general checkup?
General checkups, I think it shouldn't ever stop. From the time you a kid, when you were going to see your pediatrician, I think I do honestly think going to a doctor once a year, just having a checkup with your normal GP, I mean, I'm not talking about any specific specialist or whatever, going to have a little checkup, doing your blood pressure, getting a little examination, getting the routine questions spoken to. First of all, it raises awareness about the conditions that may affect you. Second of all, it acknowledges the fact that you are taking responsibility for your own health. And at least getting the opportunity, taking the opportunity to get a checkup. And obviously it gives the doctor the opportunity to find something if necessary. But, if there is something there, that's it. There's no specific age in terms of when you are going to get a lump in your breast. It's very common in, post-pubertal, women. So, as I said, related to your menstrual cycle, etc., getting lumps, these are often fibroadenomas, but not always. And those need to get investigated on an individual basis. I think the checkup, as far as a mammogram and an ultrasound goes, that we generally suggest to women over 40, because that's when the risk of breast cancer starts to increase significantly. That said, if there are any risk factors that predispose whoever it is, to get breast cancer, for example, if you have a known familial family mutation, like, for example, the BRCA1 or BRCA2 mutation, that's the most common one that we hear about that's related to breast cancer, obviously you need to have your screening adjusted for your age, because your family history is different, your genetics is different, your predisposition is different, and so therefore we would adjust your screening to you, but in your one specific scenario, for example. So it's different for different people, but the vast majority of healthy young women without any genetic or other predisposition don't need to go necessarily for a mammogram and ultrasound under the age of 40. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because actually only 5% of breast cancers occur, for example, if you are in your 20s or 30s, only 5% of the overall number of breast cancers would actually occur in that population group. So to go and screen all people in that age group, first of all, it's exposure to radiation. It's the fear and anxiety of having to go for that investigation, and only to pick up 5% or 5% of that entire population group, it's not enough to warrant the screening in that population group, if you understand what I'm saying. Whereas if you look at women who are over 63, that's more than 50% of women are diagnosed over the age of 63. So do you see why we would screen that group of patients more than, because the advantage is significant. The pickup rate for that population group, so there the risk or any radiation, etc., warrants the benefit, because they basically 1 in every 10 women are going to have breast cancer. 1 in every 9 women will have breast cancer in that age group.
So then when we were speaking about the increase of breast cancer in young women, what age category is that?
Well, it's all women under the age of young. As far as breast cancer is concerned, mm-hmm. is under the age of 40. Okay. And we are seeing an increased number of women that are being diagnosed in that age group, but not to the extent where we're seeing that they are that 1 to 9. It's still the massive majority of women that are being diagnosed with breast cancer are still the older age group, older than 60, 63. That's actually the median age. It's different in South Africa because our population is slightly skewed. We have a younger population in general. We don't have a lot of old people, if you understand what I'm saying. They don't mm-hmm. get, we don't, our average, the average age for a woman to live to is around 70, whereas in European countries, the average age where a woman lives to is more than 80. So it's a little bit different in terms of what we are seeing. And we see that statistics of more than 50% of our women being diagnosed over the age of 55. So we see it's slightly skewed in South Africa. We see a lot more over the age of 55. But we are seeing an increase in the age of under the age of 40. That said, it's not enough to still warrant a screening program in that group, because the pickup rate is still not significant enough, if you understand. I don't know if I can, the prevalence is still not high enough in that age group to warrant the risk.
I think if I were to sum up everything that you are saying, and not with the numbers and the age groups and all of that, I'd simply just say that young women need to start actively looking after themselves to not be the women in the ages of 63 and onwards, you know, from 40 onwards, who might be a part of the percentage of women who would suffer from breast cancer. Is that correct? Am I understanding you correctly?
I agree with you. Yeah, there are certain things that you can change that will decrease your risk. Unfortunately, there are, like I mentioned before, there are certain things that are unavoidable. But yes, I think we in a younger age group, we really should be doing everything, and we can. We're young. We can do a lot more to enhance our life.
True. Definitely, and we have that option to do that, especially if you don't have any, you know, heavy responsibilities like family and so on. So you can sort of create a life for yourself where it's good for you and for your health. But earlier on, you spoke about, or you mentioned genetics. So I want to know about genetic testing. When does this happen, and when does one come in for that?
Well, if there are a couple of members of your family that have been diagnosed with cancer, I think we need to, obviously, there's something going on there. If it's your mom, for example, the family history is quite strong. Mom was diagnosed with cancer. Your aunt or two was diagnosed with cancer. Or you've got a couple of cousins with breast cancer. Or it doesn't necessarily have to just be breast cancer. I think it can be ovarian cancer, it can be colorectal cancer. That means cancer of the bowel, different types of cancer. That is somebody that it would raise a flag for us. And especially we would take into account the age at which those people got their cancer, because it tends that genetically linked cancers tend to occur in patients or in women that are young. They tend to present earlier, if you understand what I'm saying. So the older you are, the more likely it is. If an 80-year-old gets breast cancer, it's more likely to be a sporadic type of breast cancer, as in it just happened to you because you are older, and because your clearing up system, your DNA repair system is not so good. But if you develop breast cancer under the age of 40, you are in the prime of your repair state. Your body is supposed to be like, you know, healing itself easily. This shouldn't be a problem. So why are you getting breast cancer this age? So there are a couple of factors that trigger us to suggest genetic screening, and that is a strong family history or a young age of breast cancer. And as you mentioned earlier, the triple negative types of breast cancer, those often tend to also be linked to genetic causes of breast cancer. Bilateral cancer that occurs in both breasts, or if the person themselves has had ovarian cancer or some other type of cancer before, different types of cancer before in that same body, would trigger us to think about or counseling the patient on genetic screening. That test is generally arranged by your doctor or whoever is seeing you, whoever has taken that history. And I really do think that a genetic counselor should be involved as far as doing the counseling and testing is concerned, because what we don't, it's an incredibly interesting topic. It does genetics on its own. There are so many, we can talk for hours about it. But there are people that these genetic counselors are specifically trained in that area. And there are a lot of implications that that having the genetic test and it being a positive or negative result, there are implications for those tests. And I think the people that are most suited to doing that counseling and testing are the genetic counselors, etc. They can also guide you if you do qualify for a genetic screening. I've actually, just interestingly enough, I had a patient a couple of days ago who said she has a very, very strong family history of breast cancer. And there was actually not a single person that was directly linked to her. Her father's wife's cousin's daughter. These, when we talk about family history, it's people that are directly linked to you, that share genetics with you. So your brother-in-law is not, unfortunately, your blood. So if he, unfortunately, may Allah forbid, develops some sort of cancer, that doesn't count necessarily. It's people that are directly genetically linked, because they are, obviously, cancer is very prevalent, different types for different, and there are lots of cancer stories. There's lots of people who know people with cancer. But when we talk about genetics and your specific risk of genetics, it's people that are directly linked to you. Your family, specifically, you share blood with them.
Yeah, genetic testing, 100.4 FM. This is On the Couch, and we're speaking to Dr. Fatima Hussain. And we're speaking about breast cancer because it's always an important topic to speak about until our numbers decrease. And especially breast cancer increasing in young women, but Dr. Fatima is saying not to worry. It's not that scary yet. And we're trying to debunk the fear that is attached to cancer. Now, Dr. Fatima, because time is not always on our side, let's talk quickly about the treatment options that are available and what patients who go to the doctor and find out or have been diagnosed now can expect in terms of treatment.
So that would depend on the type of cancer that you get diagnosed with. Some are hormone sensitive, meaning your hormones, estrogen, progesterone, stimulate this tumor to grow, in which case hormone blocking agents are a very good option for those patients. There's another receptor on the cancer that we test for. It's called HER2, this is a receptor that takes up growth hormone, or that binds to growth hormone. So you can imagine growth hormone, this type of receptor is in a lot of your body cells, and it stimulates your body cells to divide and make new ones. We need to repair ourselves all the time. But if this receptor is on your breast cancer and your growth hormone goes to bind to that receptor, it stimulates, it gives it a strong stimulus to grow and divide and make more cancer cells. So HER2 positive types of breast cancers is another type. And for those types of breast cancer, there is a drug called Herceptin, or we talk about the immunological or biological agents, where we can use that in that group of patients. It responds really, 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 really well to that treatment. It's not chemo. And then, of course, you get the patient who is triple negative. And what does triple negative mean? It means that the tumor doesn't have receptors for estrogen, it doesn't have receptors for progesterone, it doesn't have a receptor for this HER2, which takes up the growth hormone. It is just the cancer or these cells that are growing without any specific stimulation. And those are the tumors that respond very well to chemotherapy. So it depends what the treatments that are available and that will be offered to you would depend entirely on the type of tumor that you have and the treatment susceptibility.
I really wanted to speak about life after breast removal surgery, especially if a woman finds themselves there, because sometimes it does happen, sometimes it doesn't, but what are the chances? But if you could just, if from a doctor's perspective, just let us know what has some of your experiences been with regards to breast removal and the response to that from the patient.
I'm going to say quickly that I have been lucky to work in the government sector and in the private sector. The resources are and what is available is very different in both sectors. But any woman that goes to any sort of breast surgery, first of all, she must regard herself as brave. And that's no small thing. When you... I think women identify very strongly with their breasts, but I think what we need to get over is that it's your life versus your breast, if you understand what I mean. Yes, nobody wants to live without an arm. Nobody wants to live without a breast. Nobody wants to live without the appendix. If you don't need to have it removed, then we're going to keep it in. But in the scenario where you have breast cancer, this is a scenario where you will be better served if you have the operation that you require for to treat that and to get rid of the breast cancer. And I say treatment that is required because it's not always a mastectomy. It can come in other forms. We also talk about breast conservation therapy, which involves taking out the tumor. People call it a lumpectomy, taking out the lump, removal of that segment of tissue that is diseased, and taking out the lymph node. And then adding radiation therapy over and above that to sterilize the rest of the breast tissue. To put it simply, that's kind of what happens there. But the two work together. It's not applicable for all patients. So I know a lot of women come to me and say, no, I just want the lump out. But the lump is like 10 centimeters and it's basically occupying the entire breast. If your whole breast has cancer in it, I can't just take out the lump. Unfortunately, that patient would be better served with a mastectomy. There are indications for certain operations, and your doctor needs to, or your surgeon needs to talk to you about your different options based on your breast and your disease, because it is very specific. That's the beauty of breast cancer. It's so advanced now. It's actually completely it's patient orientated. It's very specific for the patient. It's designed for the patient. It's not a one recipe fits all kind of situation. That definitely does not apply in private. And then also, women are very afraid, okay, they're going to lose their breast or whatever, what's going to happen afterwards. I've had women in private who have access to the reconstruction option who do not want it. They would rather have the mastectomy and have an external prosthesis. So it's very, very different for different women. But I think as long as they have the options, they are given the options that they can have. I don't know how to explain it. If they understand what the options are. Yes, after you have your mastectomy, you can potentially have reconstruction if this is something that you require. But the point that you have to have now is to have the curative surgery, to get the stuff off that needs to help you move further, to help you survive to the breast reconstruction, that kind of thing. People are very different. Some people don't want any of their breast tissue behind and they insist on a mastectomy. I've had people insist on both their breasts being removed. I've had people who don't want reconstruction and people who want who definitely want reconstruction. They need it. They need to have both of their breasts there because they it's part of the how they identify with their body. It's what they feel comfortable with. They don't want to be walking around with a flat chest. And ultimately, I think the greatest thing here is that if you sit with any patient and talk to them about why you are doing what you are doing and why they have their options, I think a majority of women would understand and they are going to choose their life over their breast. Majority.
Yeah, I mean,
but it doesn't always mean losing a breast. I have to please that if that is the message I can get across today, breast cancer does not necessarily equal death, and it doesn't necessarily equal losing a breast. Please, please, please understand that. It's not like that always.
And on that note, Dr. Fatima, shukran so much for speaking to us this evening. I'm glad that you ended off on that note so it could stay in people's minds and in my mind too, so that I can look at cancer differently and not with the fear. But shukran so much, Dr. Fatima. Until we chat again, have yourself a wonderful evening.
Afwan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And that's how we leave you this evening. That was Dr. Fatima Hussain, who is a member of a number of organizations that deal with breast cancer and trying to combat this, and also one of the serious avenues that they are trying to fight is this, the scare that comes with breast cancer. It's not the end of the world once you find out. Early detection is so important. So as she said, after 10 days after your menstrual cycle, do yourself a favor and check if everything is okay. And should you find that everything is fine, then you're good. If you find that you are a bit concerned, then please go for a checkup. It's not the end of the world. There has been so much work and so much research put in, and treatment options are now widely available for those who do find themselves with the disease of cancer. So there is hope. And ladies, choose your health, because that's your long-term wealth. And not just ladies, men as well. Choose health over short-term enjoyment that's going to kill you a lot faster. Up next is Reflections of the Ayub Ali. But for myself and the team, we bid you a warm assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.